Let us pray. Lord, open the eyes of our understanding, and as we understand, grant us the will to obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you follow Matthew and Mark's sequence of events, then the parable of the sower is the first full parable Jesus told. The parable of the sower, with its introduction, is a key to all the other parables which follow. It can be argued that it is the most important, because in all the other parables, the divine sower is actually sowing the seed of the Word of God of which this parable speaks. Apart from the parable of the vine dressers, the parable of the sower is the only one which is recorded by all three of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Now, what is a parable? When I was in Sunday school, I was taught that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That's probably fairly accurate. Parable means literally to place side by side. It describes a form of instruction in which a word picture of the truth is placed alongside of the truth to be conveyed. Use of the parable as a teaching form was not exclusive to Jesus. The Old Testament contains a number of examples of parable being used for instruction. Also, it was one of the favourite forms in which the Jewish teachers, the rabbis, set their teaching. The parable of the sower is a parable of caution. It is a parable of caution to preachers, to let them know that great results from preaching will not always be seen. That reminds me of the young clergyman looking very discouraged while talking to one of the wardens after the service. The unhappy man said to the warden, "My sermon may have been boring, but that was no excuse for the slow hand clap." Yes, it'd be a dreadful experience, I think, for any preacher. For hearers of preaching from the Word of God, the parable also has a caution. It is a caution to take heed how they hear. There is no doubt at all that preaching ought to be of the highest order of which a preacher is capable, but it is just as true that similar high standards of listening are to be expected. The first verse of Mark 4 tells of a typical teaching session for Jesus by the shore of Lake Galilee. It reads, "Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables." Why parables? Why not straightforward statements, plain words which need no interpretation? Well, to get an answer to that question, we'll jump over the telling of the parable to verse 10. "When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, 'The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those who are on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may ever be seeing, but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven.'" Preachers and other leaders who are looking for popular acclaim will act to maximise the number of people following them. Slogans and catchphrases will be used. Anything complex requiring much thought, will be avoided. Just as in a lot of the political speeches that we're hearing today. Speeches will contain statements and propositions which will confirm the opinion or view the people in the crowd have of themselves. Jesus employed none of those devices. Instead, he chose to teach by parables, a system of instruction specifically designed to sift the wheat from the chaff among his hearers. Other teachers might rejoice when great crowds follow them, but not so the Lord. He knew only too well the mixed motives of the human heart. Alan Cole, who used to lecture Old Testament at my theological college, wrote this: "Here is a strange teacher. His parables are designed to test not the intelligence, but the spiritual responsiveness of his hearers. Gaining insight into the meaning of one parable will therefore lead to increased understanding in others. On the other hand, failure to catch hold of God's truth at the outset may lead a person further and further into the fog of not understanding. It is the Holy Spirit who alone can open our spiritual eyes, blind by nature, to the truth of God. Our prayer to the Holy Spirit for guidance and understanding needs to be a continual prayer." And you may or may not have noticed that I pray the same prayer each time before I pray, and it's that prayer that the Holy Spirit will open our eyes and that we'll understand. It is genuineness of heart which determines whether or not we will be able to take in God's truth from the Word. The truth is always there, but we will not always take it in. And it is genuineness of heart which determines whether or not we will be able to take in God's truth from the Word, read or preached. In verse 9, at the end of the parable, Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So it isn't just a matter of having ears. It is having ears which are ready and eager to hear and understand. There are particular times when each of us will hear what another person says, but we will not be listening intently. The result can be as if we had never heard anything. And I'm not saying, of course, that such a thing happens in our household. Jesus was saying that people will understand God's word or not according to whether we earnestly want to understand and follow God's ways. If our will, our desire is right, then intellect will present no problem. If we have no desire to understand and follow God's ways, then it won't matter how intelligent we are or how much effort we put into the study of God's word. The result will always be lack of understanding and spiritual infancy. Jesus' teaching will not have the effect of illumination and understanding upon those who've closed their minds to following him. Rather, for those people, our Lord's teaching will only provoke a further closing of the mind and a rejection of the word preached. Jesus quoted part of Isaiah 6 to make this point. Verse 9 of Isaiah 6 reads, "Go tell this people, be ever seeing but never understanding, be ever hearing but never understanding." Verse 10 of Isaiah 6 goes on, Make the heart of this people calloused. Make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. In Matthew's record of this passage of teaching, after Jesus said those words, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside everything is said in parables," Jesus went on to say this, "Whoever has will be given more. He will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." What a puzzling statement. It sounds almost contradictory. Yet it is not so puzzling when you think about what it is a person has or does not have. It is having or not having a genuine knowledge and understanding of God's good news in Jesus Christ. Those who humbly open their minds and hearts to God's teaching are the ones who have knowledge and understanding. To them, Jesus said, more understanding, more knowledge will be given. They will have an abundance. Those who in their pride close their minds and hearts to God's teaching are the ones who do not have the knowledge and the understanding. From them, Jesus said, even what they have will be taken away. The thing which such people have is an appearance of the knowledge and the understanding. And there will come a time when even that appearance of knowledge and understanding will be taken from them. At that time, it will be plain to all that those people never had that knowledge and understanding, only its appearance. This is a very sad, sad truth. It's actually what judgment is all about. People refusing God's reaching out to them, and they in their wisdom thinking they're doing the thing that is right by rejecting that, and in the end, even losing that wisdom that they had. At the time Jesus quoted those words, it is clear that he was referring to the spiritual blindness of the Jewish leadership. In John 9, when the leaders asked Jesus whether he was saying they were blind, he replied, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." The words quoted from Isaiah 6 refer to how God responded to their arrogant and obstinate rejection of the truth by making their spiritual blindness permanent. To this point, I've not spent any time on the parable of the sower itself. This was purposeful. My aim has been to answer the question I posed earlier. Why parables? If you want to gain an understanding of the meaning of the actual parable, then read our Lord's explanation to his disciples in verses 13 to 20 of Mark chapter 4. It is only this parable and that of the wheat and tares which are explained in such detail by Jesus. Matthew's version, which I've already mentioned, of our Lord's explanation of the parable, has at its beginning and at its end some words of Jesus which help us to see the process by which God's word bears fruit in a person. The thing that causes it not to be fruitful and that which causes it to be fruitful. Listen to our Lord's words, first from verse 9 of Matthew 13. "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, The evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path, said Jesus. Then at the end of his explanation, Jesus said at verse 23 of Matthew 13, but as for that which was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and another 30. Note the contrast. And does not understand it, so that the message is lost, and understands it, so that the message takes root and grows and produces a crop. These are key phrases. Does not understand it, and understands it. These words speak to preachers about working hard to deliver the message with as much care, relevance, and clarity for understanding as is possible. Putting the finishing touches to a sermon 5 minutes before the service as a normal practice is not good enough. And there should be preachers that I'm speaking to here, of course. When we are pew warmers or listeners, the words about the need to understand speak of opening our minds and hearts enough for our wills to be moved by God's words. It means that we have to work at listening with willing hearts. In the parable, the fate of the seed or the results of the sower's efforts came according to soil type. In terms of human attitudes to listening, the soil types may be described as shallow, heedless or careless for the pathway, shallow or lacking in seriousness for the rocky soil, self-indulgent or distracted for the thorny ground, and then attentive, receptive and willing for the good soil. Soil can't help being what it is, but you can and I can determine how attentive, receptive and willing we will be as we read or listen to God's word. Which type of soil will you be as far as God's truth is concerned? Let us pray. Bountiful God, we thank you for planting in us the seed of your word. By your Holy Spirit, help us to receive your word with joy and live according to it, so that we will grow in faith and hope and love and obedience to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.